tuned into the greatest.
You are now tuned into the greatest.
Oh my God.
It's the Fearless Podcast with Arian Simone.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi, Arian. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and you?
Good.
Well, I am so happy to have you on the Fearless Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I know you just recently have gone through the same journey to open up your life.
My goodness. Why didn't anybody tell me podcasting was so...
was a job.
Yes.
It is. Wait, was a job? Yeah. So many people don't realize it's an actual business in itself.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's more than just, you know, recording a podcast or interview. I mean, you really got to sit, especially now that there's so many podcasts, you really have to sit down and think about how you're going to get it out there to the world, you know? So
yeah,
that's what I've been doing.
And how to differentiate it. You aren't lying. Trust me. We've revamped a couple times just to get to where we are. And I'm like, oh gosh. So pretty much, don't get me wrong, we've started already, but my podcast is very much so we're having a candid conversation, like as if we're talking as girlfriends in my living room.
Okay.
So that's why we're just talking right now. But yes, we are live. We are definitely recording.
I figured I wouldn't listen, you know, to a few episodes. And I was like, oh, they start as soon as that, you know, the call-in.
Oh, yes.
Like, let me be prepared.
Most definitely. Most. So tell us just a little bit about what your podcast journey has been like starting off.
Well, we just launched our podcast not even 2 weeks ago. We're only like 10 days old, but for me, I wanted to start a podcast because, for some reason over the last few years, I've just kind of felt boxed in. I think, you know, I always used to hear people like, of course, I believe I'm motivational, but I felt like people's expectations of me were almost like the next Oprah or the next Ayan Lin. I was like, that is not the path I'm trying to go down right now. I am in a stage of self-discovery. I'm trying to figure my life out. I can't tell you what to do with your finances because I'm trying to sort mine out. You know, I really wanted to be super real. You know, like, I'm not perfect at all. And I was like, I need a platform to really share my truth in the most authentic way ever. And I knew that I work better when I'm bouncing off of other people. So I couldn't do it by myself. And so I went and I found two other women. Well, they worked with me. I knew them. One I met at Malik Teal's podcast. Retreat. And another is the managing editor of my site. And they're both, we're all different ages. Sheridan is 28, Amber is 34, and she's between jobs. So she had a six-figure job since she was 24, but now she's unemployed. And I love that story because she's right in the middle of a life shift. And then of course I'm 39 and I've been through my life shift, but now I'm trying to get stability.
That is good. But what I can say is when you were saying, not that we love, I know what you meant though. You're like, not that we love the story, but we know that that's a story that job security is not promised in this generation. And that's something that a lot of people have gone through. Like our parents' generations, our grandparents' generations, they were on jobs, you know, for 40 years. And then the next thing you know, they get to retire and just do whatever. But that's not the story of our generation as a whole, period. You know, everybody in our generation I know has at least had a layoff that has worked somewhere.
Yep. Yes. And I think our generation, we don't know what retirement looks like right now.
That's the truth.
Absolutely honest. Like 80% of people, especially, you know, we're in this place where we're going for our passion. We're going for entrepreneurship. We are able to tap into our creative energies and do things that we're very passionate about, but it leaves very little room for a lot of people to save for retirement or figure out their retirement plan.
No, that's it's and that's yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth. I think we're truly the generation that's just operating and living on faith. Like we literally are. So for those of you guys who do not know that who I'm speaking with, I'm speaking with Nicole Kane. She is founder of XO Nicole and formerly a founder of Nicole Bitchy, for those of you guys who were subscribing to the Celebrity Gossip blog. And we're going to dive into her entrepreneurial journey. So in season 3, Nicole, it's all about entrepreneurship. We've had a whole series that was on faith and entrepreneurship, which stems from my book. And this one is truly just on entrepreneurship as a whole. But what I really wanted you to get into is your journey, because you have a unique story in the African-American community. The talk of acquisitions are not as common. It's like a new talk now that people are like, oh my gosh, I'm selling my business or it's getting acquired. So I want to start with the early days and how you transitioned to where you are now. Like you said, your whole shift. So yeah, start from the beginning. What got you into entrepreneurship?
I mean, when I started NicoleBitchy.com, I don't even think I really grasped the concept of entrepreneurship. Like all I knew back then was get a job. And that's what I was trying to do at the time. I was trying to get a job. I had worked at a radio station and I had moved to New York and was trying to find a job in the entertainment industry. And during that time, I had kind of started writing celebrity news because I was in the know, because at the radio station, I was a producer for the afternoon drive host. So I would bring him the latest news every day. I would log on to All Hip Hop.
Yes.
Back then, it wasn't really many sites you could log on to get some your celebrity news. But when I got to New York, things didn't work out as I planned. Like I went on all these interviews, but had no interviewing skills and had no skills on how to really sell myself. I had a bomb resume, but didn't know how to sell myself in interviews. So after about the third, not even the third, maybe the seventh or eighth, no callback or denial. I remember it just got to my self-esteem and I started questioning my self-worth. And I was like, I'm not sending out my resume anymore because I don't want to be told no anymore. So if someone wants me to work for them, they're going to have to find me. And I mean, that was a very, I don't know. I was going to say that was probably a very cocky way to go about it, because I was confident in my skills, but I just was like, no one sees me. After about a month, I ran out of money, and that's how I ended back up on the Eastern Shore, living with an aunt, starting all over again. And I started the website NicoleBitchy.com out of my aunt's living room. And from there, my thought process was not, I'm going to blow up and be this big blogger. My process was, okay, let me create a product. And after about maybe 6 months, I'm going to get my social media following up. I'm going to get my website hits up. I'm going to have all these statistics and I'm going to go back to all the people that told me no. And they have no choice but to give
now,
me a
what
job.
Social media? What social media was even around at that time? What was it, MySpace?
None, really. Like MySpace. Yeah, MySpace. I started on MySpace, and then I've created a blog spot. So yeah, it was MySpace. we found that age, girl. I think Twitter. I think I was one of the first Black folks on Twitter. I tell that story all the time. But Twitter came around the next year. And then Instagram like a year or two later. But yeah, I started the website. I worked very hard. And my views were slowly going up. I got caught up in some controversy with like RASB and Chris Stokes. I don't know if you ever remember that story. and that put the site kind of on the map. But during that time, my aunt kicked me out, which was the best thing she could have ever done for me, because I had no choice but to come down here to Atlanta. That was 2008. I took the only $500 I had and hired this lady named Jonice Slaughter. She's a PR. I don't know if she still works in PR, but she had Chatterbox PR. And I was like, look, I'm a blogger. I need to be out on the scene. Any parties you know of, like, please let me know. And that's how I started growing my website. I used to go out on the scene in Atlanta, and I'd you know, blog about the celebrities there, and they'd be on the site the next day. The promoters loved me because I was giving them press, and that's how my site started growing.
Now, from a business standpoint, were you receiving money at that time?
No, but what happened, people would find my site and think it was popping because I had like the same five people comment all day. I didn't tell them to comment all day. They just was under there chatting. So people would come to the site and it would have like 300 comments. So when they found it, they were like, oh, this site's been around for a minute, but I'm just finding it. So very quickly, I got like someone, a label rep from like Warner Brothers had contacted me. And then Russell Simmons was launching Global Grind and he contacted me and they hired me to write, to be like an entertainment editor. And I was getting a check from them. And then Fuse.com, Fuse TV contacted me. And then I was getting a check from them. So I was getting all these random checks, but no real checks from my actual blog yet.
That's interesting. So how many years did you have to go at it before the blog started to generate you money?
Oh, it about 6 months to 7 months in. So again, I was getting money from Global Grind and Fuse TV, but then Munson Steve put me on a rolling out Female Success Factor tour with Chili. And that's when I started telling my personal story. Like, I got kicked out of my aunt's house, like my parents passed away, all of those things, you know. And people were connecting to the story. And that made me realize the thing that's going to make you stand out is if you show your face and people know your story, because now you're humanized. At the time, no one knew what bloggers looked
like. That is so true.
They didn't know anything about them. They didn't know anything about their lives. And so here I come and I'm telling my story and people see a regular person, and that really helped the site grow and create a loyal fan base.
No, you're able to connect with people, and people know this. People do business with who they know, like, and trust. And if there's no transparency, exactly, there's just no trust. Like, it's like, okay, how do I know you? How do I trust what you're saying? And I guess we're both, you know, testaments of that and people who walk in that, and we share our stories all the time. When you were talking about just getting rejected from those jobs that you were applying for and sending your resume, I'm like, oh gosh, it was taking me back. I remember I applied for 153 jobs when I was on the job search, and I was just like,
oh my goodness.
And people don't realize that just feels bad. It does. After a while, it starts to wear on you. Like, I know I'm worth something. We can't operate in this space anymore. And you get tired of that. You get exhausted with that. And honestly, you know, we're blessed to have overcome that. But for some people going through that, it may send them into depression.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, easily.
Especially
easily.
I'm lucky it happened to me, the whole not having a I can only imagine what it's like if you have a child, you have a husband, you have a family that's dependent on your support financially as well. A lot of people do, you know, and they're, you know, at a blink of an eye, you can lose your job tomorrow and not know when you're going to work again.
Yeah. And then spiritually speaking, I would say that in your case, and even in my case, we were not destined for that. We just weren't, because you clearly see, we've succeeded somewhere else. So it was like that route was just, it was just not meant for us. We were trying it and it was just like, okay, clearly something's not happening right. So luckily, you know, everything worked together and still got us on these paths. So from a business standpoint, you were getting checks, but it wasn't necessarily directly from the blog. It was more so indirectly. And then when did you start generating, I would say advertising dollars? So when the blog actually started making money?
I would say two or three months after I started my advertising agency at the time, or blog network named Guerrilla Nation. They're no longer around. A lot of these blog networks are no longer around. But it was called Guerrilla Nation. They reached out to me. And so I ended up signing with them. And it's the wild thing about it, those blog networks, the way it works, the advertising split is like 50-50. 50 them, 50 you. Not even 20, you know, 70 you, 30 them. When I got wiser as the time went by, like I started negotiating better in terms of, okay, no, you're not taking 50% of the revenue of this site. That you know, and I get it there. You know, that's when I started getting advertising from like Fox, the networks and all those, because, but they were selling us as a bundle, not specifically as a site, but as a, my audience as a bundle.
That's interesting when you said they're no longer around. And reason why I said that's interesting is that people have to be that up on technology. To say something's no longer around, that was just 10 years ago.
Yeah, that, I mean, a lot of blog networks, there was a big one named Lamb Network that just shut its... I don't know if you remember, Glam branded themselves as like Mode or something. But almost every blogger I knew was with Glam, and they, like, one year they just shut their doors abruptly and left all the bloggers just hanging. Like, they didn't know where their next check was going to come from. They didn't know if they were going to get paid for any of the campaigns that they had ran. Like, Glam just closed their doors, like, abruptly. And I think they might have filed for bankruptcy.
That is crazy, because I'm telling you, this is not that long ago. So when people are hearing that these companies don't exist, that was just 10 years ago or less. You know,
yeah, and that company, that happened maybe, it had to have been 4 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And there were sites like YBF, Baller Alert, Gossip on This. Like, almost every blogger I knew was signed to that network.
Oh, my gosh. That's something else. So how many years were you into Nicole Bitchy before you transitioned to X on Nicole, and why?
7. And because, I think I went to a Bevy Smith event, and she could tell my heart wasn't in it anymore. Like, I started crying. I was supposed to be there to be inspirational as her guest. But as soon as she asked me the first question, I started crying.
And wait, what was that question? Because that's just such an aha moment. What was that question?
I can't even remember what it was. I think in my spirit, like, she had been talking about her story the entire time before I came up. And she's talking about how she used to, this is Bevy Smith TV now, for people who do not know. but she was talking about how she had this 6-figure job, was working, I think, at Vibe as a sales person. She was a sales rock star, making it all the money, getting flown to Paris, but she was not happy. And she wanted to be in front of the camera. And she finally walked away. And that meant she had to downgrade her lifestyle. She didn't know where her next check was coming from, et cetera. But over a period of time, she ended up on TV, you know. And she's going through her story. And I'm thinking, I'm not happy. I'm where you were when you were at, the media company. And at the time, like, I was dealing with a lot of guilt for not being happy, because I have this lifestyle where I'm making all this money. I'm flying around the world. People know my name. I'm interviewing celebrities. I'm at the highest parties, but I'm not fulfilled. And I felt the fact that it was something I thought I always wanted and prayed for. And now I got it and I'm still not happy. Like, I struggled with that. So I think by the time she got me up in front of the room and asked me a question, I had already blanked out and I started crying. And I just was like, you know, it's hard for me to be motivational to you guys and tell you all these things about my life, because I don't love my life right now. I don't love my brand. And she made a mention that, like, I was going into my 7th year.
Your completion.
Year completion. Yeah, and I felt like since I made that revelation in front of all those people that I gave myself a year. It was September 2014. I was like, by this time next year, I am not going to have this website. And I closed it down 2 or 3 months before that the anniversary of that date.
What made you give yourself the grace and time for the transition?
First, I'm glad I didn't just say I quit this and right after that event just walk away. I literally set myself up. So First thing I did, I was living in LA at the time. I moved to Arizona. And it was because I would always hear about Arizona being a place for clarity. Oprah would always go. People would go to, like, just get away from the entertainment lifestyle and recharge. So I was like, I need to be away from New York and LA if I'm going to really go through this transition. I got to move away from people who have boxed me into this blogger thing. So I moved to Arizona. It was like a four-step process.
She's like, this is not an AA meeting, it was a four-step process.
No, it's not. You got, like, I was like, first, get away from all these people that have boxed you in. So I moved to Arizona November of 2014. And then second thing I started doing was planning. Well, this is the same thing we preach about all the time when you want to leave a job and mm-hmm. have an exit strategy. You know, like, you just don't, hey, I quit, blow up the place. Like, so I was like, okay, I picked a date and I worked backwards. What do I have to do for those months leading up to that date where I was going to shut the site down? I knew I did still wanted to have a website. I just wanted it to be empowering and inspiring. So I had to figure out how to transition out of Nicole Bitchy and into X on Nicole. So my plan was to close my website down and then to launch the new site not too long after. And I did. I closed the website down July 2015, and I launched X on Nicole August 26, 2015, which is only like a short 6 weeks mm-hmm. in between time.
And after you get this up, is everything just peaches and cream? You're like, oh, new site, new life, we're here.
No, I mean, I remember, like, a week later was my 35th birthday, and I remember walking through a parking garage because EXO Nicole took a little bit more manpower than I thought. Like, with Nicole Bitchy, we had, like, one or two writers. With EXO Nicole, we had tons of contributors. And I was walking through the parking deck, and I was like, what?
Are you fine?
Sorry about that. I'm like, am I getting cold?
No, trust me, it's okay.
but I was like, I just turned 35 and I've started my life completely over. And this, it struck me that when you start a new brand, it's like having mm-hmm. a new baby. Like, the baby is dependent on you for everything the first however long before it walks or anything. Like, you got to feed it. You got to carry it around. It's not even walking yet. And that's how I felt with EXO Nicole. It's a newborn again. So I'm tied to this website in a way. And I started wondering, how am I as a 35-year-old woman going to have a relationship? How am I going to have a husband? How am I going to have kids? And I've started this site over, and it's gonna take so much of me to grow it to where I want it to be. So I'm like bawling, crying at that revelation.
No, you can't have it all. You know, I believe people can have it all, but yes.
Right. I was just like, I've made a big mistake. And not only that, with transitioning, I didn't think about how the site was going. Like, I had everything planned out, the content, the voice, I had a writer's guide. What I didn't have planned out was how the site was going to make money. I didn't have the advertising department planned out. The sales strategy planned out. I was so focused on editorial, the voice, and so,
that's a lot of people. Some people are truly creatives, and not that it's a lack of business mind. Some people just are truly, they're truly in the art and not the science of it. And that's a lot of people. And that's why some people have co-founders and partners, like, or you start, you know, hiring people who are skilled in that area. Like, but that happens to a lot of people who are truly creative brains.
For sure. And it's, I think I heard Lovey said recently when we was at my Leaks retreat that there's, you know, three types of leaders. There's visionary, builder, and sustainer.
So I'm a visionary too.
I'm a visionary. Then you need to hire a builder and a sustainer on your team. So like you said, I'm a creative. The only thing I was worried about is the content. I wasn't worried about, like, okay, while we're creating the content, how are we going to get it out here to these brands? How are we going to get advertisers? How are we going to get sponsors? So what happened was I launched the website with my own money. Whatever was left from the X on Nicole pool, I was paying all the writers. I was paying all the marketing people, whoever was helping with the website. That money ran out real quick. I mean, I'm seeing, you know, six figures just run out the door in like a 3 month time. And I think my business manager, he manages the money of a lot of athletes and entertainers. And so he had someone let me borrow like six figures to keep the site going, because he believed in it a lot. He was like, this person's going to let you borrow it. No interest. We're just going to pay it back. I believe in you. You're going to have the money to pay him back within a year. I'm like, all right, fine. I will say that person was football player Arian Foster. And then, but the money that after about three to six months, that money ran out. It was like, I was just like, oh my God, I have made the biggest mistake of my life. This is breaking me. I don't know if I'm going to have a place to live if I keep this up. I have no money. I have mad tax debt from my Nicole Bitchy days. And it just, I've never been in that situation. Like, I felt like that was the lowest situation I've ever been in my life because of all the debt that I was in, all the people I had to pay back. So yeah, that's kind of what, that was my first 2 years of running EXO Nicole from 2015 and 2016.
And that's real. People don't realize that once you start making a whole lot of money, of what that looks like on the back end. People do not realize that at all. So I definitely...
Oh, and the IRS is clocking every single... Like, you might think...
You're not getting away with nothing.
They come back around and they'll present you with a tax bill from 2010. Yeah, they'll present you with a six... I'm telling you, I was in New York, and I remember I got a call from the doorman of my building, and he was like, the IRS is here. And I'm like, oh, gosh. Like, I was like, and I remember telling myself, oh my God, okay. Let me just calm down, just breathe. And she comes upstairs and she presents me from a tax bill from like 2010, 2011. It was like,
yeah, you told me.
This is like,
I know.
Nicole Bitchy days. At this time, I'm EXO Nicole, like, you know, and that's 9 years later. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I want people to really make sure they're out here paying these taxes, because, for me, I had a business manager out of Atlanta. I had a whole bunch of celebrity clients, some of the biggest celebrity clients you can name. He was filing my taxes. He was preparing my taxes every year, and I was signing off on them. And I trusted him because I didn't know any better, but they weren't filing them. And so when I got with my new business manager, I was 5 years of taxes prepared, but not filed.
Oh, my gosh. And just the penalties and fees alone, yeah, regardless of even the amount
penalties
owed.
And fees. And then I spent the last few years of running a Nicole Bitchy site, but paying back taxes and paying off a lawsuit, because I had a lawsuit from a copyrighted photo. A lot of bloggers know about that. They're just not out here publicly telling people that they've been hit with lawsuits. And so when people say, well, when she left her old site, why wasn't she like a millionaire? Well, I was paying back taxes and I was paying off, you know, a lawsuit that was originally $1 million, and I settled for like $80,000. So it was just one thing after.
But you know what is so beautiful through all this, Nicole? You have just kept a smile on your face. Of course, you probably cried in the dark, but the public would never know. The public would never know. Of course, as being us being girlfriends, of course, I'm hearing bits and pieces of this story previously, but the public would never know. And you have stood the test of times. These are the type of situations, I'm serious, if people are not called to it, it will take somebody out. They will be, no, for real.
Like, yeah.
Like, those are some reasons why we hear some news headlines, because of stories like these. And I just commend you.
I mean, you have to really have a strong faith in God. And I'm like, I mean, I look at all that I've been through. Like I said, most people know my story, know, like, my parents aren't alive, my grandparents aren't alive, you know. And so when you've had so many deaths in your family as I have, you live your life very lonely. Like holidays, like people don't know, but I be in my apartment alone every holiday. You know, I used to travel on holidays and just spend it somewhere else. But like when I was a blogger and having to like blog about people's holidays, do people
yeah, that's tough. That's tough. That's tough.
Right.
Now, you're always like, welcome to come with me and my family on any holiday, but that's tough. I'm serious.
Thank you. That's tough.
Yeah, and people just didn't understand how much of a toll that took on me every Thanksgiving, every Christmas. But yeah, I just, like, God didn't bring me this far for me to not have a great life and be prosperity. Yeah. And so even when Will Packer came around in 2017, I just was like, this is no coincidence, you know, and that's when I was at my lowest of lowest. But I know my God works.
So wait, let's pause right there, because I know the listeners are like, okay, what happened? Will Packer comes along. Why is he coming along? What is he doing? For those who do not know the story or have not read the news headlines about it, explain what happened. He comes around and does what?
So in 2017, and I'm really big on setting intentions for my life. Like I remember December 2016, I was in like my lowest stage of depression I've ever been in. And it's because I had put out a video online, like in that September, just saying what I had wished I'd known before leaving a successful brand. And so I was very transparent about how my website wasn't making money, my new one, how I thought I was gonna have to move back home with my aunt, all these things that people would never tell people while they're in the middle of it. They tell you afterwards, after they got out of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
but I let the world in on the eye of the storm, and it made headlines. And I felt that I was publicly being ridiculed for leaving my old brand and the new brand not making money. And like every negative thing you could ever read about yourself, I read about myself during that like time. So that took a toll on my spirit, because I felt like there were people actually rallying for my downfall. And I didn't know how to take that. And, you know, there were headlines on sites that I respected. So by that December, I just was in a very depressed state. And I remember just telling myself, I need you to get up out of this fetal position, stop feeling sorry for yourself, and figure out what you're going to do with your life. If you're going to walk away from X on Nicole, make the decision, but I need you to do something. And that's how I got into competing, because I needed something else to take my mind off of like everything. So I got into bodybuilding. But around that time, I started setting intentions every day that said, like, when you set intentions, the way I set them, I write out how, what's going to happen in my life before it happens. So that day I said, I will be presented with a huge opportunity. And I went on about my day. And then I get an email from Will and say, hey, this is Will. I haven't talked to Nicole in a while. I would love to set up a meeting from her. And this is Will Packer. I also got a few texts from people that say, hey, Will is looking for you. Can I give him your number? So he finally called me that day. And he basically presented an opportunity for me, to me. And it was for me to come and work with him on another project he was launching. And he just thought I would be the perfect person. And my confidence took over. And I told him that day, I don't think the position is right for me. My lack of confidence took over. I told him I didn't think the position was for me, but I could recommend 5 people to him that I think would be perfect. And I left it at that. And he actually called the next month, and I told him the same thing, and he called the next month. And so at this point, Will is calling once a month. So by April, I think when he called, he said, you know, Nicole, I'm trying to figure out where your mind is at. Is it that you don't want to work in entertainment anymore? Because I think we would do great things together. And I was like, I was like, I'm studying nutrition right now. I'm into fitness. I'm about to like switch paths. You know, I just said I've been running my site, Exo Nicole, for a long time, and it's drained me, and I'm running out of resources, and I think I'm just tired. And I think, even though I didn't realize at the time, like, people can't help you if you don't open your mouth. And in that statement, I was telling him, without knowing that was what I was doing, that I have this great website, but I need help. I need resources. I need money. So I finally decided to meet up with him in LA after God told me I'm missing out on my blessing. God was like, girl, I'm at this man contact you one more time, but you about to miss out on your blessing. And yeah, I met up with him and, you know, I told him, he saw that I was very passionate with what I was doing with Exo Nicole. And yeah, that kind of turned into, another meeting with his COO, which turned into me waiting around for them to give me a job offer. And the day that they called me with the job offer is when they broke the news they were going to acquire my website instead. Woo! And I'm telling you, that man, he didn't even get the sentence out. And I just started crying. So that was the last thing on my mind. I didn't even think of it as a possibility. I had already came to terms that I was going to walk away from Exo Nicole. I was going to go work for Will Packer. I was going to help him build whatever it was he was trying to build. So the thought of him acquiring my website and me still being able to run my brand in the way that I'm doing today was not even, that was my wildest dreams. It was a wild, so it reminds me of when Oprah says, you know, God use me. I don't know what you have planned for my life, but I know it's bigger than what my imagination can hold.
That is so beautiful. So now we can fast forward to today. Oh, I just love that. That is so beautiful. And I wanted our audience to hear it because, like I say, acquisitions are so not the discussion in our community. They are more now, and I'm so glad that they are more now. Because I remember you were going through it. You were like, Erin, I don't even know who I can call. You're like, who do I call to even tell me what this process looks like? All I know is my attorney is just going to tell me. And that's why I wanted you to have that discussion on the podcast, because there, so many people don't even know what that looks like. So I guess we'll say from a simple standpoint, just walk them through that. Okay, this person acquired my company and I still work for it today, and what that looks like.
Well, I think I got lucky. Acquisitions don't normally work the way mine worked. Like when I was going through the negotiation process, I'm Googling every single site that has been acquired, and every single one of them shut down within a year. Because what happened was there were companies that would come along and acquire their website but didn't know their audience. So you got these, say, white companies like Time. And they would come and acquire a site like mine, or say even an Essence or something like that. Essence is still going strong, but they'd acquire a site just for the audience because they needed more of, you know, African-American audiences, especially African-American women. But they don't know the audience. And so what would happen was they tried to change the voice. They tried to change the content. You know, they would start doing content mills, and they would say they would buy a site like mine, and then they would make me go from posting 5 to 10 posts a day to like 100 posts a day. And now the quality suffers because you're going for quantity. And so those websites were just going down, like, one by one. And I was like, oh my God, it made me paranoid. When you're negotiating between yourself, the company, and the company that's acquiring you, with when the attorneys are negotiating, you're negotiating the worst case scenarios. So if every day you're talking about the worst that can happen, that's all that's on your mind is the worst that can happen. So I almost walked away from the acquisition because this fear that I was going to lose my brand, or the brand was going to lose its voice. So I say this to say, I'm thankful that I was able to be put in a position. Will is one of the best people you probably could ever work with in entertainment.
And he knows, and he knows the AA audience. He knows our audience, especially, yeah.
He knows the
Black women.
Especially, very passionate Black women. You go into his office, you see a lot of Black women making decisions. So he practices what he preaches. And he's very kind, a family man, etc. He has morals. He's nothing like what you hear about the evilness in the entertainment industry. So after they acquired my brand, I was kind of waiting around for things to change in terms of, like, you know, just I was waiting. Like, okay, it looked like cookies on the outside, but let's see what happens now that we here. We done signed the paperwork. And I could say it's been 2 years. 2 years was September, and they have allowed me to completely run my brand. They've been very supportive of everything I wanted to launch, from events to videos to even this podcast. They never questioned me on the site's voice. They've really let us grow and blossom. They let me hire my team. And so it's allowed this brand to grow and by leaps and bounds. In this year alone, we've quadrupled.
Congratulations.
thank you. We've quadrupled our traffic. We've launched 3 huge
activations. Yeah, they were beautiful.
We launched a 6 video series. I mean, what we were able to do in 2019 was my wildest dreams. And just moving down to Atlanta helped as well, because we have a big audience here. But I wouldn't be able to do this without the right partnership. Someone that let me blossom as a creative and really trusted my voice and trusted the direction I wanted to go.
Oh, yeah. Will's a wise businessman. He's like, if it's not broke, we're not fixing it. Like, we're gonna keep this thing going.
Right. You keep doing what you do. Let's step back and let her do what she do, mm-hmm. and let's see what happens.
And that is so important, especially now that I've gotten into the investing space, that you have to, because if what's attracted you to the business is what's working already, they need to just be able to grow and blossom in that space. That is so, so true. Well, girl, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And we're going to close this out, but I want you to share what your intention is for the day.
Yeah. For my day? Oh my gosh. Honestly, to get back in the gym, because after launching the podcast 2 weeks ago, like, I've just kind of fell off. My intention is to really, we have a lot. We're filming 2 episodes of our podcast on Wednesday with 2 actors. At a lounge. And so that's going to be the first time people see it in video form. And so my intention is just to, like, really plan that very well today. and just keep positive and not overwork myself, because I'm good at that as a Virgo. Like,
that's so important. That is so important, to give ourselves grace. We can be our worst critics in everything. I'm very big on that, and just leaving room for miracles to happen, because so often we get so caught up in the day and just try to control everything that you can just miss the magic of the moment. So
yeah, and I'm giving myself the grace. I mean, you said for the day, but I'm thinking about the rest of the year. I'm giving myself the grace to open up my energy to allow love into my space, and know that there's a, like, God is going to provide a way I can balance growing this brand as well as having a blossoming love life and you know, personal life.
I definitely believe that. And I will definitely stand in agreement with you on that. I believe everybody deserves it all. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on to the Fearless Podcast. I appreciate you sharing your transparency, your honesty, your wisdom, and just your energy in this space. And until next time, I'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Arian Simone. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If so, be sure to click subscribe. Be sure to give us a 5-star review and be sure to make sure that you are following us on social at @FearlessBrand_.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fearless Podcast with Arian Simone. Subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review.